Welcome to Operationally Excellent Podcast, your benchmark for innovation, success, and entrepreneurship in the natural gas industry. Brought to you by Durand Benchmarking's Global Gas Transmission Benchmark, the GGTB allows gas transmission system operators to achieve their performance and efficiency goals by comparing their performance to that of their peers so they can identify the correct opportunities to focus on and plan effectively. I'm your host, Pablo Levy.
Thank you for joining us at the Operationally Excellent Podcast. In our previous episode, we spoke to Giedrius de Geest from Ambergrid, the Lithuanian gas transmission system operator, about the successful project of upgrading legacy compressors at the Panevėžys station dating back to Soviet times. During that conversation, Giedrius pointed out that one of the keys to their success had been to engage with knowledgeable expert contractors who were able to guide them and give them the know-how to deliver this project effectively. Today we will be speaking to Jan Jus from Horbiger, who was the project manager from Horbiger at the time, about his experience and how they achieved this amazing performance results with the compressors. Jan, welcome to the Operationally Excellent Podcast.
Good morning. I'm very excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Well, look, Jan, we're going to speak about the modernization project for the Panevėžys gas compressor station in Lithuania. But first, please tell us a bit about yourself and your role in Horbiger.
Sure. My current role in Horbiger is a project engineering manager for legacy gas engines. I'm responsible for the technical side of all upgrade projects out of Americas. There are basically three pillars of my responsibilities. So the first one is business development, where I often support our sales by visiting customers and where I present Horbiger technology and services in relation with modernization of legacy gas engines. So within the visits, I also usually introduce a concept of engine mapping, which is basically an independent assessment of the gas engine that results in a written report. So the report summarizes current engine performance and clearly specifies what technology is required in order to meet customer target. And this can be emission reduction, it can be fuel consumption reduction, or for example, improved reliability. My second responsibility is the actual project engineering. I make sure that the scope of technology for each project is chosen correctly, considering the outcomes that the customer expects. Part of the process is to work with our local representatives as well. And together we develop project plans, also involving local resources and potentially local vendors. And finally, my third pillar of my responsibilities is project execution. So in this process, I make sure that the technology is installed according to all our, as well as local standards. I manage commissioning and final optimization myself. So I usually actually travel to the site in person, tweaking the system to make sure that everything is just working perfect.
That's great, Jan. Thanks. Well, in the previous episode, we spoke to Giedrius de Geest from Ambergrid about the compressor station in Panevėžys and the project that you were involved in helping them modernize them. So what was your role in that project?
So my role was a technical lead of the project. So I was making sure that the project runs as it's supposed to. I was responsible for the design of the project, choosing correct technology to meet their targets.
Perfect. Well, when we spoke to Giedrius, one of the things that he pointed out was that because they, as a company, this is not something that they do very often, one of the keys to their success was to have knowledgeable contractors like yourselves come in and give them that support and that know-how. So from your position as a technical lead, what are the challenges that have to be overcome when you want to modernize one of these legacy gas engines?
Yeah, the legacy gas engines have been around for quite some time. They're actually much older than me usually. In effect, we have seen engines in operation since the 50s, and they are still running. These engines were state-of-the-art technology at the times they were designed and manufactured. So these are relatively old pieces of technology. However, the technology improved significantly from the times that those engines were designed and manufactured. So why not to apply it? We can get the gas engines with the fuel consumption as new, while keeping extremely robust, reliable machine, which is capable of running pretty much forever when operated well. And all of this can be done for a fraction of total replacement cost. And that's, it's not only the technology that changed over the years. The environmental impact of pretty much all internal combustion engines, including the stationary gas engines, this is something that we all know have been discussed over the last decades and need to be taken into consideration by engine operators more and more. Talking about Europe, so there was not a unified set of rules or emission limits for stationary gas engines until recently, but this is changing. The European Union issued a new directive that affects essentially all gas engine operators in near future. In fact, pretty much all of the operators we know of, they will need to heavily invest into the equipment to comply with the new strict limits concerning nitrogen oxides and carbon monoxide emissions. So, and according to this directive, the deadline to meet this emission is 2025. And that's something new to most of the operators. And considering the necessary investment, this is actually much closer than it actually looks. Having in mind number of units in Europe and size of those projects, that's it's really high time for all operators to look for solutions and also start budgeting the investments for the upcoming years. Looking back to Lithuania, in the project over there, our main goal was to meet nitrogen oxides and carbon monoxide level required rather by local authorities, while reducing the fuel consumption as well. So there was quite a few challenges that we had to overcome. The engines that are operated over there in Panevėžys compressor station, it's Rūmų 10 GKN engines. And the air delivery is ensured by a pair of turbochargers and scavengers in series. And that actually creates a unique set of problems. These engines were originally uncontrolled, meaning the operator had pretty much no control over the air to fuel ratio in cylinder. And the turbocharger didn't provide enough air at the high load to meet the nitrogen oxide emission. Rūmų 10 GKN, it's a big bore engine with rather poor in-cylinder mixing and the open chamber configuration, so it has no pre-chambers. And at the point we first saw the engine and I had a chance to do the engine mapping, the combustion stability was extremely poor. And you could see the concentration of the unburned gas in the exhaust was extreme. And the fuel, so this means that basically the fuel consumption was very, very high. And the engines run most of the time is very lightly loaded, which again creates another set of quite unique issues.
So you're coming into this project and you're dealing, I imagine every time you do one of these projects, you're gonna be dealing with different technologies, different types of gas compressors. So how do you go about overcoming these challenges? Because these compressors were not designed to be modernized and they were not designed to meet modern emission standards either.
That is true. So typically most of our projects start with engine mapping. In reality, this means that we travel to the site, spend usually 2 to 3 days on engine, collecting various engine parameters and emissions, while running the engine at different torques, speeds, and if it's possible, air fuel ratios. With this data, we have in-depth knowledge of the current engine health and performance, and we can accurately estimate what effect will each of Herbiger technology have. We then typically finalize our findings and summarize them in the written report. And depending what does the customer want to achieve with the technology or with the upgrade, we develop a so-called technology roadmap to meet a specific target. And again, this can be fuel consumption reduction, emission reduction, perhaps reliability improvement. The engine mapping is a service that can be provided as a independent, so it can be independently of any kind of modernization, or it can be already as a part of the modernization project. So just for us to get the baseline of the engine performance. And similar approach was actually applied in Lithuania as well. So the large bore two-stroke legacy gas engines, they typically suffer a lack of air at the higher load, while at low load, the situation is opposite with actually excess of air and very little mixture. And after we got to know the engine in Lithuania, we knew that the Rūmų is not different to this. We needed to provide more air to lean out the air fuel mixture so we could reduce the nitrogen oxides, especially at the higher loads. And in order to be able to keep the desired level of NOx at all times, we had to also have a way to control the RFU ratio, since actually the nitrogen oxides is a function of it. But there is a downside of leaning out the engine. It usually, well, it always leads to even poor combustion stability. So in this case, higher energy source of ignition is must. At the low loads, the situation is different. The air fuel mixture tends to get extremely lean due to excess of air. And this gets even more intense in Brumo. And this is because the engine has not only turbocharger, but a piston scavenger as well. As with every two-stroke engine, there is a limit of how low we can actually go with air manifold pressure to still ensure the proper scavenging. And once this limit is reached, the only way to make the mixture rich is on the fuel side, actually, by shutting down the fuel to one or more cylinders and distributing that fuel to the remaining cylinders. And that's exactly what our electronic fuel control can do.
Okay, so tell me more about that. So you went in, you did the engine mapping, you did your analysis, you developed a technology roadmap. What did you end up doing to these compressors in Lithuania? And what were the results in terms of emission reductions and performance improvement?
So we went in and we equipped each engine with a pair of new turbochargers and aftercooler matching the new heat rejection requirements. The specified turbocharger provided sufficient air to meet our NOx target finally. We also installed a new wastegate and implemented an engine-specific air-fuel ratio algorithm that basically governs the wastegate, so the air-fuel ratio is constant across various operating conditions. And that way we ensure that the engine complies with the NOx limit at all times. In average, we managed to cut down the NOx by factor 3. So that was pretty good. Each cylinder was then upgraded with one external actually screw-in type pre-chamber together with a separate cooling system. And the each of the pre-chamber was fueled by the Herbiger pre-chamber control valves. That's the technology we call EPCC. And in this case, we basically make sure that we keep an easy to ignite, or in other words, very close to stoichiometric mixture within the pre-chamber only. And once this small volume gets ignited, the flame shoots out of the pre-chamber, and this has very sufficient energy to ignite even very lean mixture that is in the main combustion chamber. The technology actually does miracles with large pipeline engines, and this is also what we saw in Lithuania. So despite the overall leaner air fuel ratio, we managed to really massively improve combustion stability. So if you want me to quantify it, I believe the best way or one of the simplest way to quantify it is by coefficient of variation of the peak pressure. And we managed to reduce it from the range of 15 to 18% down to 6. I know that perhaps those numbers might not be familiar to you, but I wish you could see the difference on the cylinder pressure analyzer, because that improvement is really, really exceptional.
Well, those are really fantastic results, but tell me, what does this translate into for the operator when they are operating these gas engines after you finish the project?
So I believe that the biggest benefit you could see right away is the fuel consumption reduction. So when we first entered the site, the concentration of the unburned gas in the exhaust was really extreme. So we found that there was somewhere between 15 to 35 fuel gas wasted due to extremely poor combustion stability and other related issues. So we managed to cut it down to less than 5%. And that's really massive achievement. So we managed to cut down the fuel by third. And considering that the nature of the Rumo engine and the fact that we have also quite limited options to improve the mixing, that's really great. We also replaced the existing oven with our electronic fuel control system. And this system is based on a Herbiger's GV100 injection valves. And these valves are mounted upstream of the existing mechanical valve. Well, that way we managed to increase the fuel pressure up to 7 bars and further improve mixing. And that gives us also some points on the nitrogen oxides emissions. And what is really cool about this system is that having those electronic valves in place, the operator can very accurately manually balance each cylinder. So that's another really big benefit that has a direct impact on the reliability of the engine. This system also offers, or the add-on to this system, which has not been installed in Lithuania yet, and as a product we offer as well, is the automatic continuous balancing and monitoring system. And this system is based on insulin pressure transducers, and that way you know very detailed what is happening in each of the cylinder, and you can automatically affect it by injection. So you have, at all times, you have very detailed knowledge, and you can balance the engine continuously at pretty much every stroke. Any of our electronic system allows the customer to implement also feature we call skip fuel. And this feature allows disabling up to three cylinders, and this essentially addresses the issue with the tooling mixture at low loads. So being able to run the engine richer at low loads, we can further reduce the fuel consumption while still keeping the NOx emission below the limits.
Fantastic. So that really is a step change in performance for the operator, both in consumption and the flexibility they get to run their compressors. Now, each project is different, but having completed this one and going forward, are there any insights that you gained from successfully completing it that would be useful to other gas compressor operators who perhaps may be dealing with legacy engines as well?
Absolutely. I think the most important is that, or my personal most important takeaway is that the legacy gas engines are really a bulletproof design. They are extremely robust, and when operated well, they will outlive us all. Just the fact that there is more than 4,000 of those gas engines that are still running in U.S. gas pipeline industrial, that this is really good evidence. And in fact, in the U.S., nobody is even thinking to replace them. Upgrading those engines using proven technology that is really available today, you can achieve comparable efficiency as well as emissions to new engines. And at the same time, you can still benefit from its very, very robust design, which none of the current engine manufacturers can offer. That's my key takeaway from those projects.
Absolutely. And remembering that this can be done at a fraction of the cost of replacement, right?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, Jan, if our listeners want to learn more about Herbiger and your team's capabilities, how can they do so?
They can definitely reach me out on LinkedIn. So my contact is Jan Just. You can also reach me out to email. So my email is jan.just@herbiger.com. Or perhaps you can email also responsible sales. His name is Andreas Gams. And the email would be andreas.gams@herbiger.com.
Excellent. And we'll have all of these links on the website for anyone who wants to get in contact with you. Jan, that's fantastic. A lot of insights. Thank you for that. I hope our listeners will find this as interesting as we did. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for inviting me. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us at Operationally Excellent. If you'd like to hear more episodes or you'd like to participate in the podcast, please visit us at duranbenchmarking.com/operationallyexcellent.